All right, guys, welcome back to episode 20 of Primal Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour, here with your host, Chris Story. Now, guys, you know the drill by now. Just a few things to touch base on before we get today's episode up and running. The first is the usual, a massive thank you to everyone that's showing me the continuous love and support so far for the podcast. So please, if you like today's episode and you've got a few minutes to spare, please just drop me a review on iTunes. And then if you screenshot the review and send it over to me via email or DM me on Instagram at PrimeAlchemyUK, I'll give you an exclusive 15% discount for anything on the primalalchemy.co.uk website. Again, if you don't want to do that, then please just drop me a message on Instagram just so I know what's going on, so I can see a little bit of feedback of how to improve the episodes and get it out to a wider audience. That really is my whole motive behind this series, is to be able to combine my expertise and get on board a lot of the world leading thought leaders within their field to break down subjects to you that you may not have heard about before, but can be highly beneficial if integrated into your life. So yeah, other than that, you've got that the normal exclusive 10% discount code REDPILL. That's the code REDPILL. When used on primalalchemy.co.uk, you'll get 10% off anything in your shopping basket. Perfect opportunity to jump on board and grab yourself a Vitruvian protein. That's our flagship organic superfood powder filled with adaptogenic herbs, nootropic herbs, prebiotic herbs, and pretty much every high vibrational superfood that I thought would be best formulated into a complete package for you guys to help you on your quest for physical, mental, and spiritual optimization. Not to forget, we've also got our new ancestral coaching programs. So this is your chance to work alongside myself. If you like what I've got to say and you're like, yo, you know, Chris kind of knows what he's talking about and I wouldn't mind knowing a little bit more person to person, then this is your chance, guys. You can work with me one-to-one, be it in fitness, be it in nutrition, be it in biohacking, or if you want to go to full Shazam, we can hit you up with a self-mastery ascension program as well. So that's going to be a mentorship program. So yeah, check the website out, guys. It's newly revamped and I put in quite a bit of time trying to make it look more pleasable and aesthetic to the eyes. And hopefully you guys love the progress that it's made so far. Now moving on to today's episode. It's a really good one. Really enjoyed this one. It's with Miss Paulette Agnew. Now, I won't go into too much about the history between me and Paulette because we covered that briefly on the episode at the beginning, but today's episode is essentially all about quantum healing and holographic medicine. Now, for some, you may think, what the fuck does that mean? Well, essentially, it's all about using electrons, photons. That's it. Electrons and photons. That's the source of energy within that our body prefers to use. That is the original source of energy. So when we begin to integrate that into a medicinal purpose, we can really see some profound shifts in our state of health and our state of consciousness. So yeah, hopefully you guys really love this one. I don't want to give too much away in the intro here, as I really do want you guys to sit through this, because Paulette is a gem. She's a star. She's got a wealth of experience. And yeah, you need to listen to her story. Her story of how she become who she is today is one of the most remarkable and admiring stories that I've heard for a long time. And yeah, it was an honor to have her on. And hopefully you guys can feel that in the talk that me and Paulette have together. So yeah, guys, please leave a review at the end of the show. And hopefully you enjoy this one. Let's get after it. Time to get woke as fuck.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
As above, so below. What lies without resides within. Time for growth to begin. Mental, physical, and spiritual. We find balance with all three as we focus on totality. The whole, not the half. This is for those on a spiritual path. looking for the clues to the answers of life. But the truth ain't always nice, so leave your ego at the door. Let your inner lion roar and your spirit soar as we go deep down to the molecular level. Tap into the body with some yogic breath. Throw in some calisthenics for a true strength test. Like the shamans of old, we use the nature to heal with a little bit of DMT to reveal. This whole life journey is a little surreal, and your mind needs a leader, not a follower in life. Let your mind be the master and you pay a hefty price. This next 60 minutes is about self-mastery. It's not an easy path and it's a lifelong journey, but we up to empower with this Red Pill Initiation Hour. With this Red Pill Initiation Hour, brought to you by Primal Alchemy.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Three, two, one, and we're live, guys. We are back with episode 20 of the Red Pill Initiation Hour. So, episode 20 already. It's been about a month and a bit now, and we're already on episode 20. There is no fucking around, guys. We're going in deep. Two episodes a week, keeping it up. Hopefully you guys are still enjoying it. And as always, today's guest is a treat. A little bit of background information on how I know today's guest. And I was exhibiting the Primal Alchemy brand at the Go Organic Festival, which was held in London, I think back in May time. And yeah, it was a weird experience. It was, to be honest with you, pretty shit. Didn't bring the results I was looking for. No one was interested. People were walking past and just looking at me like, who the fuck is that guy? And one woman in particular gave me the time of day, and she came over and she was intrigued by what I had to say. And it turned out that this woman is very, very switched on. And she kindly gifted me her book that she's wrote. And I was like, okay, she's given me the time of day, I'm going to give her the time of day. And yeah, I went home and read the book, and shit, it's a legit book with a lot of legit information in that. Yeah, it really resonated with me, with everything that was said in the book. It's right on my, it's my bread and butter, as to say, but without the bread. Don't want those carbs. Yeah. Really enjoyed it, and we kept in contact, and yeah, I wanted to get her on the podcast in order to be able to give you guys the information in return from what's in the book. If you guys haven't had the chance to read it yet, I'm sure we're going to cover a lot of the topics within the book, and yeah, really enjoyed it. So I just want to give a massive welcome to Miss Paulette Agnew. So thanks for coming on, Paulette. It's been, obviously me and you've been talking back and forth before this, and it's great to finally have you on.
Well, thank you for having me, and yeah, I enjoyed meeting you too at the show. It was a great time for me because I was there. I flew in from Europe, from the Netherlands, where I'm staying at the moment, and because I've been given an award for the book, which was fantastic. And I really enjoyed meeting you. And as you say, a lot of people there are a bit sleepy, shall we say. Their consciousness is not as awake as you'd expect from an organic show. But there was a couple of people in that place, and you were one of them that stood out. And I could see your energy was different, and you had a certain light quality about you. And I thought, yeah, nice to see a young man who has a different frequency, different vibration. So that was great to make the contact.
Cool. Thank you very much, Paulette. And so for people that don't know about yourself, you have quite the interesting story, and it's the story that really makes you who you are. And yeah, I was reading through your book, and your story is very hard hitting. Like, you've been through the shit. You've been through some trials and tribulations, and you've been on death's bed, and you've come out the other side. And everything that you talk about is through experience. It's the wisdom of, like, living the journey that you're really pushing the information out there for others who may find themselves in a similar situation. So yeah, if you wouldn't mind giving us a bit of a background on yourself, because it really is intriguing and it ties in so well to why you say what you say. And yeah, I think people could benefit from having like a good understanding of just how you got to where you are to today before we even get into the specifics of what you've got to say.
Okay, well, definitely I would say I have lived a most unusual life. I was born in Cumbria, and my parents were both mountaineers. And my earliest memories are of my mother carrying me on her back up and down the mountains. In fact, she said she had to stop rock climbing when she was about 3 or 4 months pregnant because, you know, I was too big for the harness. Mm-hmm. And then when I was born, she put me on her back in the rucksack and off we went. So I grew up in the mountains and much of my childhood was barefoot, running kind of free with my brother or cousins. And we had a lot of wilderness around us. First of all, we moved from Cumbria up to the east coast of Scotland. And so even more wilderness. And I think I was literally one with nature. I had horses and ponies and dogs and animals. And I just felt so much at home when I was outdoors. I went on to study biochemistry. I was expected to do medicine, but hey, I decided, nope, that was not going to be my path. I think at 18 years old, I knew I was not going to give people drugs for the rest of my life. So I studied biochemistry, which was fascinating and how the body worked to what I understood at that time. And then went, great, that was very interesting. Thank you very much. Got my honours degree at Manchester. And then went, no, this is not for me. I'm not doing laboratory work or whatever. I'm going back to the mountains. So I met up with an ex-SAS guy. And together we run a wilderness bushcraft survival school, sort of Bear Grylls style, for about 5 years in the wilderness in northwest Scotland. Well, first of all, in Cumbria, and then up in northwest Scotland. And I would literally be every day outside with my dog and sea kayaking or ice climbing or rock climbing or going out into the wilderness with groups and really just being as close to nature. The first 2.5 years we had no electric, so we lived off the grid in an old barn. And that was fantastic, cooking on an open fire and a little gas stove and then living 5 or 6 days a week literally in the woods and off the land. And then later we did have electric in Scotland, but very simple, a chainsaw and wood for the woods fired stove that did our heating and cooking. So I really enjoyed that phase of my life. And that took me really until, I guess, my late 20s, when I thought, then I got this kind of internal message. And I think here's one thing for your listeners. I'm a great believer in listening to that quiet voice within. I think we're all guided by our higher self, our intuition, you can call it your guardian angel, whatever you want to call it, but we have guidance from beyond our own ego mindset. And this voice said, you know, time to change. And I kind of sat up and listened to that and said, okay, I'll walk away. So I walked away from that, from what I was doing then. And I think that's another big lesson I would share with many people is be prepared to just get up and walk away and do something completely different. It really does revolutionize your life. So I actually ended up joining. I'd had some back injuries from working so much outdoor and heavy rucksack and things and rock climbing. So I was getting into yoga because the doctor said, look, you know, it's going to get worse and la, la, la. I thought, no, it's not. So I actually discovered a therapeutic style of yoga called Dru Yoga, D-R-U, Dru Yoga. And that represents the North Star, actually in India, Dhruvam, and which is all about the still point, because the North Star is the still point in our heavens. It actually technically doesn't move when you look up. So I like that concept of finding the still point within, because that's what we're doing when we're close to nature. So I embarked on a therapeutic journey to heal my body, my back injuries at that time. And got really engrossed in the potential of working with breath, with movement, with meditation, and the concept of spirituality, and in particular, Vedanta, which is about finding the truth. The ancient rishis and the ancient yogis knew about finding who am I and what is the truth. So I really went down that and had some tremendous teachers and mentors. And ended up truly pushing that to the extremes. I worked a lot in war zones. I started to work in Northern Ireland at the turning of the Peace Accord around 95, doing a lot of work with ex-paramilitary men and also the wives of the ex-paramilitaries. And then I also went to work in Australia for a while, set up some schools of yoga and therapy there. And then I went to work in East Africa and I set up a base in Nairobi. And I was working in the Great Lakes and was working in Southern Sudan, training medical teams in trauma healing Again, all to do with yourself and your body, your breath and movement, and explaining how our mind and body is connected, our emotions. And then I worked quite a bit with children who had been soldiers, child soldiers, and the rehabilitation. So that really took a great chunk of my life and thoroughly enjoyed it. I also did some work for about 10 years with corporates. I was invited to go and work for Vistage, and in fact an award-winning speaker for them. And they would send me around the country to speak to groups of CEOs, heads of companies, and help them look at stress and burnout and how to prevent, how to live with peak performance without burning out. So that was very interesting, all these things happening concurrently. And then I started to get on, after my time in Sudan, I started to get unwell. In fact, I had to be flown out because I got this incredible strange fever, which nearly killed me, literally. And I had to take almost 2 years off to, and I went to India, in fact, and spent about 6 months in India using Ayurvedic natural remedies. And that rebuilt my liver, which had been damaged, not by the fever, but by the doctor who gave me the wrong drugs at the time, which nearly killed me. So I had to sort of fight back from that. But then I still didn't get well. I'd get better and then go down and up and down. And gradually over 10 years, my body disintegrated despite every single possible thing I did. And all the tests proved nothing, proved negative. But eventually, I discovered through a natural therapy clinic, in fact, even before that, it was a medical clairvoyant, the leading medical clairvoyant in Europe. I went to see her in desperation. A friend took me there. And she said, oh, yeah, you've got Borrelia, you've got Lyme disease. I'm like, what's that? About 6-7 years ago, we wasn't really heard about much in Britain. And none of the blood tests had been to the School of Tropical Medicine and endless tests. Nothing showed what I had. And she was the one who diagnosed it. So that took me, of course, on my next big journey. I thought, okay, so how do you heal this? And it was quite a shock when I started Googling what is Lyme disease in those days, as you do when you first hear something. And it was shocking. And I thought, oh, I really am in trouble. And I knew that. My right arm was paralyzed and I had pretty much Alzheimer's. I was in bed most of the time, and I'd made my will. I was critical by then. So it was and that started this, a journey of how to heal, an extreme disease or, infection like Borrelia, which is a superbug, which is antibiotic resistant quite often, and very, very clever. And I chose not to go down the antibiotic route, mainly because I wasn't a great believer in the fact that it would work for me. And the research had done proved that a lot of people who'd go down that path don't get well. They don't completely heal. Secondly, my body was so weak by then. I knew I couldn't withstand intravenous antibiotic for a year or two. It just would not. And also, I'm also allergic to a number of antibiotics. So it was just a path I knew I had to take, which was looking at frequency and bioenergy. And so that started another phase of my life. So it's almost like I've had three whole phases of my life so far.
Yeah, it's everything ties in so well with each other. It's almost like it was like divine intervention in that you were presented at the time. It was pretty shitty, but you were presented with situations and challenges that you needed to overcome in order to learn what you needed to learn in order to progress your own self, your own, for you, and to be able to help people in the long run. Because this book that you've wrote, Paulette, it's amazing. And it is really a mirror image of what I'm about here with the Primal Alchemy brand. And it's the new, like, you've got your term for it, which you call like frequency and bioenergy or fab. The big term that's kind of been paired with it amongst the biohacking world is going to be like quantum biology, quantum health. And really what we're looking at is, we're looking past the material realm, and we're looking into photons, electrons, electromagnetic waves, like structured water, all these sort of things that I promote heavily with the brand.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that how you've reached the same sort of conclusion as myself. I'm, I guess, fortunate that I haven't had to go through what you've gone through, but everyone's journey is unique. And I was hoping that we can get into a little bit of the nitty and gritty with how you got into this sort of line of medicine, this line of healing, and how the paradigm really switched, and for yourself, the results that you've seen. And yeah, we can just go into and we can just break this down. We can look into like photochromotherapy, so like light therapy. We can go into like bioresonance. We can go into pretty much everything that I know that you want to talk about, because it's the thing that I really love as well with yourself is that you're talking from experience with all of this stuff. Like, you've experienced all of these holistic protocols or these treatments, and you've got a sound understanding of it, not just from a scientific perspective, but from a literal experience perspective, which is equally as important. So you really do get the full picture with yourself. So yeah, I mean,
for that huge chunk of my life when I was working with yoga, and it was a spiritual learning time. I really, really delved deep into the concept of oneself, and the concept of the universe, and the concept of religion or spirituality, and what does it all mean, and where do we stand, and what is our quantum holistic body, what is our holographic self, and how do we relate to the whole of creation, and how are we born out of creation in the sense of energetically. So I think I've got my sort of spiritual understanding of how the universe works with the concept of the nature itself, because that's always been my basic love, and the earth, combined with the science and the study of all, you know, my science background and my constant study of natural healthcare and the sciences. And then, as you say, my own experience of actually having to go to death's door and recover to prove that, yes, you can do it. If I can recover from what I had gone through and my very damaged body, anyone can recover, given that you're meant to recover. That's another concept. And I think so that I'm pulling together, I do have that ability to bring in a lifetime of knowledge, which I think combine to understand. And I hope what I've done with Fab Health Book is to take very complex subjects and show how they're interrelated, and then hopefully make it really simple so that anyone can read it and go, "Oh, now I get it."
Mm-hmm.
And my aim, I think, of writing the book was not just to say, hey, if I can heal, you can heal. And we don't need to have drugs to do that. But the main aim, I think, is to say to people, look, you know, we are interrelated. We are related to each other. We are interrelated with the earth and with the spiritual essence of what's out there. Because a lot of people, I think, throw the baby out with the bathwater, and they think they give up. They've given up on religion. I think most of us have. Well, a lot of us certainly have, because the dogma gets too tight and too restricted. But there's still a gift in there. There's still a gift in the spiritual understanding, the universe and the laws of karma and the laws of the essence of how the universe works, and being able to tap into the laws of grace and invoke energies that we can't see, but we know somehow play a part in our world, in our lives, in our evolution. So there's many different aspects there, which I do try to bring into the book in a rounded and simple way. I think I was about bringing everything together, all the concept of spirituality and science and the earth and healthcare and our interconnection with each other and the world itself. And that's what I try to bring in a very simple way, so that many people will get excited about this. And if people understand how it all works and how we are related to each other and how our bodies actually are coming from the quantum field, then they realize that to heal, we need to go back to frequency, energy, quantum, light, and the source of where we come from, rather than saying, oh, I'm a physical body, I need more drugs.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's something that I've been really trying to dial in on recently is sort of building my own sort of theory, because at the end of the day, everything kind of is a theory, of this whole process. And the way that I see it is that, obviously, I don't think I told you this, Paulette, but I have like a background within what you would call quote unquote secret societies, or I get it's more of an esoteric fraternity in certain groups that I've been initiated into. And you learn a lot about symbolism, you learn a lot about the sort of the higher sciences, the spiritual sciences, whatever you want to call them. And combining that with a lot of my other interests and background, basically with the way that I'm seeing it is that the body itself is a sort of a bioelectrical temple, in like a biological temple, in that it's what was the main influence for the likes of the ancient architects of our ancient past, of the people that built the pyramids, the people that built the Gothic cathedrals. It's the same sort of knowledge in that they built those temples, those monuments, as a sort of a macrocosmic version of the human body, in that the human body is a measuring stick. It is a medium between the greater whole, the universe, and the spiritual realm, the subatomic, the quantum realm, the astral realm, whatever you want to call it. Like everything that happens within the body has its analog outside of the body. And the what these architects, these builders cleverly did is that they encoded a lot of information within their construction. So it's like, they not only is it, are you looking at it from an architectural stance and reading symbolism, reading geometry, but it's also the subtle analogies and metaphors that they encode within it. So they would track the sun through processional ages with certain stars above, and they would build these sites on specific nodal points, specific ley lines of the earth, in order to harness the electromagnetic field, to be able to sort of capture a certain resonance within the biomagnetic field of the site itself. So what it's showing you is that even though it is a inorganic structure, it captures the earth, so it links the earth to the sun and is the medium between the two, just as our bodies run off the sun and the earth, and our body is the medium between the two, in that we get energy, we get electrons from the earth, we get that negative ionic charge exchange from the earth, and we get photons from the sun. So it's like these buildings are a metaphor for how we communicate with a higher source, with God, with whatever you wish to call it, the creator source, the universe. And if our bodies are in the same condition as these temples, which are always kept in pristine, holy condition, then it gives us a place suitable for God to communicate with us. And all we have to do is be able to enter the temple. We have to enter within. And if the conditions are suitable, then you will be able to communicate with a higher source. And sometimes it doesn't work out like that. Sometimes people didn't get the memo. They didn't build their temple the way that it needed to be built. They've let shit begin to accumulate in that temple. They haven't taken care of it. They've got smashed windows. They've got bricks falling all around the place, and it's not suitable for that higher source to manifest through. And it begins to rot. It begins to deteriorate. And I think it'd be good if you could give us like a rundown on where the Western medical matrix sort of fails nowadays, and people are looking elsewhere for answers. This whole field of bioenergy medicine, which is obviously an umbrella term for a lot of other sort of subsidiary medicines, Yeah, if you could give us like a little bit of a rundown on how you went about sorting out your own issues specifically, and what's the main area subjects that you feel people need to be aware of when it comes to this quantum health, sort of this paradigm shift where we're looking at photons, electrons, et cetera, et cetera.
So that's a great understanding you have there. And I think I've come to very similar conclusions based on looking at life both from a spiritual perspective, from how the ancients looked at it, from the Vedic perspective, the yogis in ancient Indians, and many masters from different traditions say the same thing, that our body is a temple. That the whole point of a spiritual journey is to invite spirit to work and with us. And so we become co-creators. And I feel that humans are, we stand between heaven and earth. We are the conduit for light and love to be expressed on this earth. And after years of working with prayer and really meditating for sometimes 6 hours a day for years on end, I really do feel that for me, when I think of spirit or God, it's not some guy with a robe and a hat, and you don't have 20 different gods, one for the Muslims and one for the Christians and one for the Jews and one for the Buddhists. No, spirit is an all-pervading force of love and wisdom and light. And we want to invite that energy to be beings of light. The traditions say we are made in his image. It's true, his, or dare I say, her image. Because for me, creation is like a mother. I like to think of spirit as being a mother, a loving, tender, nurturing, life-giving force. And I would agree with you when we have to keep that temple clean. So our bodies are, in fact, holographic. We are made initially as a holographic being. If you like, at the highest level, we are a soul force. And then we manifest, if you like, a holographic presence, a quantum self. Mm-hmm. And that quantum self then becomes the physical body. And the physical body is made of light and electrons. And we know that photons, we call them biophotons when they're in the body, that photons carry both information and energy. And they act both as particles and waves. And when we're living in a very natural environment, so you say, you know, where does Western medical system fail us? I think it's because we have we've become separate from nature of which we are born. We're born of the elements. And our bodies need light, one of my favorite topics. So, and of course, so much today, people live indoors. They live indoors in their houses, and then they go, they watch TV, or they sit on computers, or they hang around inside. And then they go to work in a car or a train, and then they sit in an office all day. Very few people are actually working outdoors. I mean, I'm sitting here at the moment, and there's frost and snow outside, and the sun is out, and the sky is blue, and it's wonderful. It's white and crisp and sparkling. I've been out playing with my Pyrenean mountain dogs outside in the snow, and it's wonderful. But a lot of people today, their health system is failing because they're not filled with natural light. So I'd say, you know, just get right into solutions here. If you want to be healthy and in tune with creation, with your God, whatever you want to perceive it to be, the spiritual force in the world, you need to be out in nature. Nature has the answer. So get out and get light. Make sure every day, especially in the wintertime, you make the extra effort to get out at lunchtime, say, and go for a walk around the park, and really fill yourself with light. Because without light, we don't have the energy, and we don't have the information. And like you said, the earth is connected to the sun, and the sun brings us that light that we need. So I'd say, so that's number one. That's very important. The challenge you have, I think, with Western medical offerings of healthcare is that they separate out the body from the mind and the emotions. So if you have a mental health problem, or you're feeling depressed or unhappy for some reason, it's a psychiatrist or a psychologist or someone who studies the brain. if there's something wrong with your back or your organs or your body, you go and see someone who deals with the physical body. Whereas actually we are a composite being, we're a holistic, integrated being. So our body affects our mind and our emotions affect our body. And it's, if you like, imagine a triangle, the body, heart, mind, and spirit, of course, is right in the middle of it all. It's a constantly moving flux, a message is going between the mind and the emotions and the body. And the heart is a great powerhouse of energy. And I spent many years teaching this, Chris, whereby when we're looking at trauma healing and the mind is very damaged because of, say, war or abuse of some kind, and people will get physically unwell. Because when you carry a certain set of thoughts and emotions for a long period of time, those emotions, those molecules of energy transmit directly to the cells and the organs. And in fact, the body, I often say to my clients, is a map of your mind emotional complex. So if you have something wrong with your body, you have to say, well, what's actually wrong with my attitude in life? What's wrong with my thoughts about myself or the world? Where am I happy? Am I jealous? Am I angry? Am I afraid? Am I anxious? Because every single emotion, every single thought is a frequency and carrying an energy, which is transmitting to the cells of your body, to the DNA.
Mm.
So one of the challenges is to bring back a holistic picture to the healing modality. And of course, all the holistic doctors do that and therapists, they know that. So one side of our life is to look at that, but also to look at light, to look at our diet, to look at water. And like you said, structured water. Yeah, I'm an absolute fan. And I'm a fan not because I'm saying you have to have alkaline water. No, I'm a fan because when we have water which is naturally more alkaline, it carries more free electrons. And as you've said, electrons, we are an electrical body. And that's what I explain in my book. The body is made of bundles of electrons. And so we need as much electrons to keep us healthy. And when humans lived a very natural life, even sort of 100 years ago, we had more time outdoors. So we were actually, as I said before, breathing, taking in the light, which brings energy and information. But we also had a lot cleaner air, and everyone would be outside more and therefore breathe more deeply and take more physical exercise. And because the negative ions in the air give us nourishment at an electrical level. And then we go and sit on a tree trunk and we take our shoes off and walk barefoot on the earth and we immediately gather up electrons from the earth. So when we're outside, we're connected to the Schumann resonance. We're connected to the magnetic grid. We're connected to all the energy lines that are flowing through the earth. And on again, in a global picture, the earth is our mother. We are part of Mother Earth, Gaia. We're made from her molecules, but energetically, we're also linked to her in every single possible way, electromagnetic, from the light, from the sound, from frequencies. And when we cut ourselves off from those, the cells start to die, not just die, but they get confused because I'll get to my pet subject now, of course, is electromagnetic smog or pollution. Everyone's got a mobile phone. Your houses are full of smart meters. They're really killer. They're absolute killers. Get rid of your smart meters. Put your mobile phone in another room, or better still, leave it in the car when you go home. Turn off the computer as often as possible. Turn off Wi-Fi. Go back to wires. We are all of these frequencies, 3G, 4G, and God forbid, excuse me, but 5G. And there was a 5G experiment and it happened in Netherlands and flocks of birds fell dead out of the sky. And what are we doing? I mean, we're killing ourselves. It's just insane. So we have the most perfect, set of frequencies in our body. We were born, we were designed to survive, to renew, to regenerate. A DNA is programmed to do that. And the DNA speaks to the cells through photons, through biophotons, through light and frequency. And so, in effect, you can think of your body as the most beautiful orchestral piece of music. And everyone is a different orchestral piece of music. Everyone is a different buzzing symphony. Your heart cells are giving one tune. Imagine that's the oboe, and your liver cells are the violins, and your, you know, and so on and so forth. And imagine this incredible Mozart or Bach symphony. Oh, so in essence, we are the most beautiful symphony. And all the distractions of our modern world are affecting, they're like a sharp note. They're a piercing scream into that perfect symphony of cells and molecules and DNA singing to each other beautifully. And when we have, for example, you carry a mobile phone in your pocket and it's turned on all day, it's close to the body, those frequencies are so unnatural and so high, they're distorting your own perfect symmetry and symphony and frequency continuously to the point where eventually the cells will break down. And this is a challenge we have in our modern world, in our modern lifestyle. We want our luxury. We want our microwaved dead food. People want to have their instant 50 gig, 100 gig Wi-Fi, all of these things. They want to have their bedroom, sit and watch TV in their bedroom. But you're blasting your cells. This beautiful harmonics that is happening inside you. It's like someone's going, screaming at you. And eventually, you know, your ears can't hear it, but the DNA and the molecules do hear it. And they get damaged, or they become in a state of dis-ease with themselves. And eventually, if we don't stop bombarding our body with these wrong frequencies or disharmonious frequencies, dis-ease sets in.
Yeah.
Then of course you have, so you can say, okay, that's the external influence of, say, Wi-Fi. And then you have the influence of your thoughts. Now, sadly, I know a lot of people today are not exposed at an early age or through life at different times with, can I just call it wisdom, good old-fashioned wisdom, and broader spiritual knowledge and the understanding of the laws. And so people don't realize that if you walk around carrying a lot of anger within you, and you may, it may, maybe it is justified, I don't know, but if you carry a deep, these are a lot of strong feelings, these are also discordant. And they're like sharp, jagged frequencies going again into your body. And interesting, because Chinese medicine for years has talked about this, for thousands of years. They explain that, for example, anger is stored in the liver, that when you have a liver problem, it's associated with an anger issue. When you have a fear issue, it's associated with the kidneys. Now, from a Western medical perspective, that makes sense, because the kidneys contain the adrenal glands, and adrenal glands are where we have our stress response, our fight and flight. So when you're afraid a tiger's going to eat you, or you're afraid your boss will give you the sack, or you're afraid you're going to be late for work, or you're afraid your mother-in-law won't like you, it's still the same response in the body. And the kidneys and adrenals take the battering. So if you live in anxiety or fear for about whatever it is, maybe not having enough money, who cares, whatever the problem is, but you're still battering that organ continuously day and night. And then remember that our brain is 90% or 95% of our brain is the unconscious brain. And Chris, you know this, that the conscious mind is thinking, right, I must go to work and I'm going to make dinner, I must make a shopping list and walk the dogs and change the children's nappies, whatever. This is the conscious mind. But your unconscious mind is carrying every single memory of what's happened to you in your life, every person you've met, every conversation you've had, is stored in this vast computer. And if you allow it to be programmed, which most people just don't realize how the mind has been programmed since birth by your parents, by society, by your peers, by the church leaders, by government, by politics, by whatever, We are programmed constantly from the outside in. And all of that is stored in your unconscious mind, which is then speaking to your physical body. So to really uncover deep health, to really recover our a deep health picture, we need to peel back the layers of the unconscious mind. And of course, that's why I've enjoyed meditation for 30 years, but and why we recommend meditation to us even for 5 minutes a day to be reflective. And again, in the old days, there was more time to be reflective. And I think that our modern pace of life is so fast. There's no time to breathe, let alone reflect on what's been happening. And was it good? Was it bad? Was it right? Do you want to absorb that or not? And we are so information overloaded today. You know, there's no time to actually say, well, is all this information necessary? Do I need all this information? And how is it information, because once it's gone in, it's in there, how is it affecting my physical body? How is it affecting the energy flow between the organs? How is it affecting my chakras, the seven power centers of energy? How is it affecting my karma? How is it affecting my my whole of my body, the integration of my whole self? So as you can see, it's a very important subject. To say, how do we stay well and how do we sort out our issues? And I would say it starts by waking up and becoming conscious of the fact that, A, I do have the power to sort out my issues, and B, saying, what of the information that I contain at this moment, how much of it is true and how much of it is benefiting me?
Yeah, there's a little bit of feedback on the, okay, no, we're good. Yeah, I totally agree with everything you're saying, Paulette, and it's, I love that analogy that you're using of, like, imagining your body as a field of just resonance. You could, like, we know now with, like, the sciences of somatics, you can put some sand onto, like, a vibratory plate and then put a certain frequency through it and it creates all these sort of complex geometric patterns depending on the frequency. Some are more coherent and I should say harmonic in nature, and some are more distorted. And you can almost imagine if you could get like a holographic image of yourself where you can just see the like everything vibrating, and all of a sudden you've got these like real like high pitch zoned in areas of just like distortion happening throughout your body. That's literally what's happening when we're getting blasted by these non-native electromagnetic waves. And it's really interesting for me because obviously I live in Bristol, and Bristol is one of the first cities to adopt this movement into 5G. Oh, and wow. Yeah, exactly. Feel sorry for me, Paulette.
Yeah, so it's, get out quick.
Yeah, it's horrible. And it's, I mean, roundabouts where I live in Bristol, we haven't got anything yet. But, I mean, it's planned. And there's a little group of my my close personal friends who are setting up like a 5G safety forum that we're going to be sort of really pushing the information out there about the harms of 5G, but that's kind of like an off subject again, more so just focusing on these like non-native electromagnetic frequencies that affect us. And yeah, it really does, like you said, just take your cells out of the harmonic resonance that they naturally want to be at. And because of that, over time, it will begin to break down the fundamental structure of the cell. It's going to fuck up the mitochondria. It's going to destroy the integrity of the cellular membrane, which is then going to cause a host of like a chain reaction throughout the body in terms of your energy production, in your general day, in your state of well-being and vitality. It's really going to have an effect on that. And I find it interesting because a lot of the protocols and practices that you started to integrate into your life to sort of tackle your Lyme disease and the other issues you had, they work with frequencies. So although, like we know that we've got, it's sometimes you can fall into the mistake of saying that anything that is not the Schumann resonance, not a native electromagnetic frequency, is going to do harm. But that's not always the case. There are other technological means of affecting your field of resonance that can have beneficial effects, right?
Absolutely. So let's look at that. So, well, number one, let's recap. Get into nature. Well, number one, try and get away from all the unnatural e-smog for a general concept of an idea. Number two, try and get into nature as much as possible because it's a reset. If every weekend you can have a good walk in nature and your park somewhere, the forest, the mountains, by the beach, you know, get into nature because that will recalibrate you and bring the body, allow the body time to heal. I mean, we even knew that years ago. People went to the sanatoriums in the mountains to heal. So you know, anyone who's listening in, make sure that at least at the weekend you get out into nature somehow, somewhere. And that's going to be really beautiful for the body at every level because you have the air, the earth, and the sunshine. So then let's look at the actual healing capacity. And that's where I think it becomes very exciting because there are a lot of people in the last 50, even 100 years have recognized that frequency and bioenergy have their potential. So Dr. Royal Rife, many of your listeners may have heard about Dr. Rife. He was around in the 30s, and he was a guy who invented, we now call it the Rife machine, but basically a frequency device. And they say that he was he'd invented a microscope that could see live viruses. And he was looking at these viruses, and he was listening to the radio, tuned the radio, and the virus died. And he suddenly realized that a certain frequency would kill the bacteria, the viruses, the mold, the fungi. And he thought, hang on a sec, if I can do that in a Petri dish, I can do that in the body. And he went on to build, I think, about six machines that were placed in hospitals at that time in America and were healing people from cancer and all sorts of different diseases by using frequency. And what was happening, there were certain frequencies which they found to be, resonate with the bug, whatever, virus, bacteria, whatever, in situ. And the body, the frequency would go into the body, resonate with the bug, the virus, bacteria, and it would explode or die or become denatured. And that has become, it actually went underground because the pharmaceuticals who were emerging at that time basically destroyed that work. It went underground. Then Hilda Clark became a very good, a very keen proponent of using frequency. And you've heard of zappers, and she really developed that work. And the Germans took it on and became very involved in that. And out of that have come some fantastic frequency devices. And of course, a lot of great scientists today, physicists, are doing a really good job to develop it. And the Germans have brought out about 45 years ago, invented something called a bioresonance device. And that is superb because with a bioresonance device, it's simply, you can actually take your saliva and put it into the device, which is programmed with perfect health tissue. And if you have a cough or a flu, like I had a client last week who came with a real bad chest, and they were coughing up green sputum. And I just took some of this sputum and I put it in the device and I inverted the frequency of that infection. And the frequency went into the patient's body via a mat on his back. And immediately he stopped coughing. And by the next morning, that infection had gone. So we can use our knowledge, our frequency, to say, hang on a sec, let's look. And there is now something called the Catholic. You can actually look. I can Google it. Look it up. They're well known now over years of research. The different frequencies will kill different bacteria. And so devices like Rife machines and bioresonance are ideal for treating conditions. And in particular, when you know you have an infection of some kind. So the clinic I went to, we used bioresonance. We had also a quantum device, which is I now have myself. I now have two, actually. I have the bioresonance device myself, and actually have a quantum energetics device, and that is incredible because it works to have a million bits of information, and it works if someone gives. I need someone's name and their date of birth and the town they're born, Chris, and I can do a complete health check. They might be living. I have clients in Australia. I've got clients in Africa. I've got clients in America, across Europe, because in the quantum field, as you know, there is no time and space. There's no distance. So, and there's only one of you, one of me, one of us in the world. So when I put that person into my device, it instantly picks up that person's quantum field and I can see what's wrong with them.
Wow.
It's amazing. So I end up doing health reports for people all over the world. And I can, because as you know, and this is working on information level, I can then, out of maybe a half a million bits of information or flower essences or crystal remedies of homeopathy, of all the kinds of different remedies that are programmed into my computer, into this program. And then the program itself will find which remedies are needed for that person. And then I transmit those remedies to the person. It's incredible. That's how far the science has come. So I have someone in Australia with a condition, and it could be whatever it is, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual condition, whatever, trauma, you name it, and I can find out what that problem is and what the cause of it is, because it may be that they have, say, the flu, but it was caught or some kind of problem, a lymphatic swelling or some kind of something, but what it may be caused by is perhaps a trauma that happened 5 years ago. And that trauma is still lodged in the quantum field because it didn't resolve it at the time. So there's still, if you like, a blip in our perfect quantum picture, a holographic picture. And as there's no time in the quantum field, as you know, that then I can send the information, the healing information to that moment, to you at that moment, to heal it. It is just wild. I mean, it sounds incredible, but I've been working with this device for a year now, and I'm amazed. Absolutely flabbergasted. I mean, I now have a pet saying, it's called the core never lies, this field, because it just shows the truth. And I show someone the report and they go, oh my God, yeah, that's right. Oh my God, yeah. That's exactly how my father treated me. Or that's exactly what I feel about whatever. It's amazing.
Wow, that's insane. Yeah. What's the technology called again?
Say again.
What's the technology called again?
They're called quantum field. There's a couple in the market. I have something called the core and energetics. There's another one called time waver. It's about 30,000. They're very expensive because they're invented by geniuses. In fact, the one in Germany is invented by a guy who was a child pianist, and then he went to become a chess master, and then he went to become a monk in India, and then he's a quantum physicist.
Wow, what's his name? Do you know?
Oh, sorry, it's just escaped my head. It's in the time wave. If you look up time waver, I'll Google it, but I'll lose speed here. So, but anyway, there's that one. And then I have the Korean energetics. So for example, for me, but of course, not everyone can work with these devices. Because as you know, in the quantum field, I think because I spent so much of my life meditation and in the healing field and in quiet presence within myself, when I'm working with the core, it becomes a meditation, because as you know, the scientist who's looking at the quantum experiment will effectively determine the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important if you're going to work with a device, a quantum device, is that you really get yourself out of the way. And I think I find when I understand the laws of karma, that really helps me, because I can't make someone get what it, if it's not karmically the right thing, but I can certainly influence certain, I know when I can influence and when I can't. So, but they are, these devices are, I think, the most cutting edge. And I think as the years go by, Chris, we'll see more and more of them. And more and more people will want to work with the more subtle fields. So the two main things I've just talked about is frequency devices, and then information devices. So the quantum field's working at an information level, which is, as you know, stored in the photon field, the light field, the light body. And then I think we when you go back to saying about, you know, we want to make our temple pure, I think that that's when we start really working with understanding how every thought, be it greed, be it desire for one's own comfort, be it one's, you know, need to be some, to have an ego, to be yourself, that that all of the, it, when they talk about wanting to become a temple of light, it's about getting ourselves out of the way. And I think the healing journey today, I think the earth is speeding up its frequencies. I think everything is becoming, is pushing us to wake up, Chris, to wake up to who we really are, which are light beings. And I think that when we get ill, it's a way of, because I was already on a great path. I was already, you know, working with people, doing great work and charity work and helping people on a healing path. And I did yoga meditation for hours a day myself, and I helped thousands of people. So I was already on this amazing path. Then I got ill. Why would I get ill? What on earth would take me to that point of death? But I had to go to the deepest point of myself, literally where I was almost in and out of the black tunnel, looking at myself going, am I going to live or not, to look at the deepest part of healing at every thought and emotion and trauma that ever happened to me, to really get rid of that, to be as pure a temple as I possibly could, to really be a, try and become a more of a cleaner vessel for spirit to enter in. And when we take rubbish food, I mean, let's go back to basics. You know, if you eat rubbish food and it's full of toxins and chemicals and, you know, it's dead, it's got no energy, then we're going to make a toxic body. If we carry toxic emotions, we'll make a toxic body. If we keep taking, every time we get a headache, instead of thinking, is it tension and stress in my neck? Is it my liver is overtaxed and not cleansing the body enough? Or am I dehydrated? Instead of looking at all those reasons why you might have a headache, you just go and take drugs. Then we make the body more toxic. So for me, the journey of awakening is an exciting one, because it invites us to look at what's really happening at every level for us, and how we can sort of really explore the very depths of our potential. And I really have come to the conclusion that, and maybe it's just for me, but I think it's for everybody, is that when something goes wrong, it invites us to find out how we can change it subtly, so we can wake up to the powerful person that we're meant to be.
Totally on board. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, Paula, just while we're on the subject of like photons, light, how this affects the light body and so on with our health, our longevity. So obviously December 21st, 2012 was a big date in history, for that it was the date in which we made the transition from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. Now, there might be a little bit of a sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? A deviation in the years, if we are actually at that time, because of the Gregorian calendar, and it might have set us forward, it might have set us back. I think it set us like 8 years to advance. So supposedly the real date of 21st December 2012 is meant to be 2020. So in next year. Shit, that's quick. But anyway, the whole point that I'm trying to make
is... I agree with you. I know a physicist in Germany who works with the calendar. He worked out the calendars, and he said it's 25th of December 2020, according to him, is when the Mayan calendar ends and the big shift happens.
Yeah, so this is what I'm trying to get at, is that obviously this whole big shift is supposedly going to be when our Earth is, when the Van Allen belt kind of opens up and we're in alignment with the photon band from the galactic center. So we're going to be bombarded, not bombarded, but we're going to, I mean, could be, we're going to be exposed to a lot more photons naturally. These light codes, this information, this energy.
Yes. Exciting.
Do you feel like this is natural, that we're starting to just sort of rediscover the health effects of photons just in time for this advancement, for this paradigm shift, in that it's going to coincide nicely with, that's going to be the overarching proof. It's going to be like, you're going to have all these machines and people are still going to be dubious about it, as in like, it's kind of like quantum snake oil salesman sort of shit. And then we're going to go through this sort of shift, and it's going to be like a big click where it's going to be like someone switched the flip and it's like, oh shit, this is the real deal. And then we're suddenly going to become more, well, not more aware, we're literally just going to become light, if, in essence. Do you think that the next few years are vital for us in the progression made in these fields of technology, in this field of medical development?
Yes, I think this is a long time being coming, and I think the Earth, Gaia, Pachamama, the goddess of creation, has been preparing the world and Earth and people for a long time for this coming next few years, for sure. I truly believe that in myself. And I believe that it's time now to really wake ourselves up and to start making of this next 2 years, really cleaning up our act as much as possible for everybody. And I think that I have a feeling that when the shift really comes, and I do believe it's coming, and I've had certain visions that would concur with that. I would say to people that if we're ready, if we lift our frequency up, we clean our bodies out, we give it the right food, the right air, the right water, we try and let go of all these toxic emotions, toxic thoughts, and old past traumas, and we really free ourselves up so we are a fluid, energetic being, that when the transition happens, we will step into it with great lightness and great joy and go, yes, I'm ready, and wow, Christmas Day, what a great array of gifts that appear before us. And I think that's the gift that's coming. And I think it's not about, you know, God says thou shalt this. No, it's about our self-responsibility. You know, those who don't want to prepare themselves, in a sense of don't want to lighten themselves, fill themselves with light and beautiful energies and harmonious thoughts and kindness, and really prepare them, that their hearts. I think when the frequencies increase, they will struggle. They will have more challenges. None of us really know exactly what's going to happen. But I think for sure that it's a bit like, I've done so many detoxification programs, you know, from going to India, and I did a 4-week Panchakarma. Man, that was intense. I could spend an hour talking about Panchakarma. Oh, you drink the ghee, and then you have to do the vomiting, and then you drink the milk and the water, and then you have your enemas and stuff up your nose. And, oh,
really?
Jesus, oh, my Jesus. And it's a bit, I think, at the end of it, your body, you think, whoa, I took a couple more months of various herbs and very, very clean diet. At the end of it, you go, whoa, I feel amazing. But it could be any kind of detox that you do, you know, when you really change your program, whatever kind of natural medicine, or you do the herbs from Peru, or whatever you do. I've done pretty much all of them. And you just detox. And you just think, oh, when you're going through it, you think, this is really shitty. It's really hard work. But when you come out the other end, you go, oh, wow, I feel amazing. And suddenly, you know, different gifts come, and different clairvoyance opens, or different energies change within you, and you go, wow. And then you suddenly meet a whole group of new people, like, where were you? Where were you in my life? You know? But because you've changed your frequency, the world presents you with a whole new bunch of frequencies of people, of energies, of knowledge, of wisdom, of finances, or whatever comes to you. So, you know, we don't really know what's going to happen, but I would just say that when we change ourselves, we change the world, and it's like the quantum field. Something new presents itself to us.
Yeah, and so true.
And it's not about being afraid. It's about going boldly into the unknown, because the universe responds. There's a great saying somewhere, I read it somewhere, that the forest answers the way we call it. So if we're shouting out love in our every thought, word, and deed to the universe, guess what comes back? Love. If we're putting out kindness and sweetness and goodness and light in everything, and we're trying to really keep ourselves into that state, then guess what the universe will give us back? Thousandfold more of that. And so when enough people do that, Mother Earth herself is healed. And I think that's, again, another reason when we come together, like we're talking now and sharing this message with your listeners, is I really know that when many people make this step, Mother Earth goes, "Oh, thank you." Because we are part of the Earth. She is us. And when we see the challenges and the destruction and the fires and the earthquakes and the tsunamis and the problems with the Earth today, we can't say, "I'm not responsible." Humanity is responsible. It's not just because we're dumping radioactivity into the sea. No, it's because a collective, millions of people collectively thinking yucky thoughts. Yeah. So pumping out dark energies or watching rubbish on TV or whatever. I mean, I've never owned a television, Chris. I'm not saying I don't watch a movie now and then, or, you know, with a friend or something. Of course I do. I'm a human. But I on purpose don't watch media news, because I do get the news, what's going on in the world, and it comes to me in different sources. But I don't sit down and watch the news every night. You know, I don't want to program myself with a tiny bit of news, information. That's not news. What about all the good things that are happening in the world? Why is it all the stuff you get on the so-called news is negative, dark, destructive, war, terrorism, fear-based? Why is all the good stuff happening? That's news too. So I choose to feed my mind and my body, my consciousness, my quantum self with beautiful information. I'm not denying other things happen, but I know that through becoming a prism of light and positivity, I can then help Earth, I can help other people, I can spread that light. And I think that's partly what spirit wants us to be, that it wants us to become. Imagine if every human being is a magnifying glass, and we polish it and we make it really clear, beautiful glass, and then spirit can shine through that glass and ignite something beautiful. Because, you know, if you're a kid, you got a magnifying glass and you could get the sun and light a fire with it on your burn your paper. We've all done that. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what human beings are for spirit. And as actually, it's another, it's a lovely saying in India, when Krishna was one of the so-called avatars, and his great message was love. And he carried a flute, and he played a bamboo flute. And he said, I want to become like my flute. And all his followers said, I want to become that flute of Krishna's. Because it has seven holes like the seven chakras, and it's hollow, just a bamboo hollow tube with seven holes. And spirit blows through that flute, and magical sounds come out. So when we empty ourselves of all our preconceived ideas and our ego and our attachments and our needs and wants and desires and programming, then something very sweet, harmonious music, so to speak, frequencies plays through us.
You still there? Still there?
I'm here.
Oh, yeah. Just a quick one just to fall back on, just because you said it, and I actually just want to look him up as well after this talk. What's the German PhD that you're on about that worked out the end of the Mayan calendar?
Oh, Robert... Can I? I'll have to send it to you. Remind me, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Yes.
And if you really want his email, I can send you his email and you can always write to him.
Wow, yes. That'd be great. I'd love to have him on. I'd love to have him on here and go deep with him and see what his findings are about concerning this deviation within the years that we've experienced up to the 2020 point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. So yeah, I mean, everything that you've been saying, Paulette, is just so spot on, and I feel like the people that are listening to this, they're gonna feel it at a very deep level, on a spiritual level, as in like the message resonates with them, because I feel like they already know it, and you're just refreshing their memory, helping them remember who they are, yeah. And that's what I feel is a common theme amongst truth, is that it really resonates with you. It's not an intellectual truth. It is a spiritual truth in that, yeah, it's some, like, you don't really even have to understand what you're saying. Like, some of the terms might be going over people's heads, but what you're saying will initiate an emotional response from them, as in like, oh, of course, that's right. Because deep down we know, like you said, the subconscious knows everything. The subconscious is everything. Yes. And it's when you bring these sort of ideas and information up to people, I feel like it really does ring a bell somewhere deep within their psyche, deep within themselves, where it then plants the seed for them to pursue to water with their own efforts of pursuing this knowledge, pursuing this wisdom for themselves. And then, like, you know as well, Paulette, it's all well and good knowing this stuff, but it's embodying it and acting on it that you're gonna see the miracles, you're gonna see the effect that it can have, mind, body, and soul. And it's so interesting that you're so articulate the way that you phrased all this. I love it, Paulette. It's like, your book was amazing, but like, you're like a level above the book in that you can actually articulate it in a way that, yeah, everything just fucking just on point with. I love it. And
thank you. Can I read a couple of things from my book? Just two short pieces.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Four sentences were picked out. I actually asked an amazing guy, you should get him on the show, called Sir Julian Rose. He's he owns a Hardwick estate in the UK, friend of Prince Charles, but he actually he now lives in Poland, and he's fundamentally helping to support the small farming in Poland. Okay. And he's an incredible guy. You should read his books. He's just amazing. But he picks out two things. That's why I asked him to do the forward for my book. And he is an older gentleman now, but really, he actually really brought about organic farming in the UK. But he's so wise and so caring of consciousness on the earth. But he pulled these sentences out from my text. Paulette states, "This concept, our interconnection with all things, could be one of the greatest mysteries of life waiting for each of us to explore. The discovery of our entanglement and the responsibility that lies inherent within this knowledge must be the next step for humanity if we are to survive as a species." And I think, and I really, doesn't sound, when I wrote that, I absolutely believe in that. I think that as a species, we have to understand our responsibility to each other, to ourselves, and to the planet. And the other one, another quote from my book.
Before you go into that minute, Paulette, it's very synchronistic and very eerie that you just said that, because I've got your book in front of me because I was having a little read over it, and I don't know what it is and I don't know why, but I had a feeling you were going to pull that. And I've literally on that page, it's the only bit that I've got highlighted. Like, I've got that bit highlighted, and I had a feeling that you were going to read that point. Like, before you even mentioned Sir Julian Rose, it was just in the book in general. I was just looking at that thing, and I've been kind of staring at it before we even had our talk. And yeah, it's weird that you brought that up as soon as you talked about, Julian then, and I was like, and you said you wanted to read a bit, and I just automatically just thought, she's gonna read that bit, and it's the only bit that I've got highlighted on my page. And
there you are, you see.
Yeah, strange. The universe giving me a wink.
That's right. And then the other bit I want to read to you, again, another two more sentences, is the vast majority of people live disconnected from this truth. They may think one thing and say something else, and their hearts have yet another desire and need. Healing is also bringing us back to the state of coherence. And that's in response to your comment about truth, is that I believe that when people are truthful with themselves, really truthful, then they'll start to find themselves, Chris.
It's important. It's important. But a lot of people aren't truthful with themselves, and a lot of people aren't truthful with others either. And they hide from the truth. They're scared of the truth.
Yes.
Like they know it deep down, but they've imprisoned themselves within their own rigid, preconceived, dogmatic ideologies that they've been sort of programmed through social constructs and fake news, if you want to call it that, just they're so deeply encoded within the Matrix that they don't want to wake up. It's like on the film The Matrix, where I forgot what the, have you seen The Matrix?
Yes. Oh, love it.
Yeah, is it Cypher's the one who have kind of he's the one who betrays them to the agents, and he wants to go back into the Matrix. He wants to eat steak. He just wants to taste that again. And I feel like there's a lot of people that they might have this undercurrent feeling that there is something more to this than meets the eye. But through many, I don't know what it is. It may be energetic blockages. It may be where they're at in life. It may be commitments. They just don't want to wake up to the truth because it scares them. It scares them of what they know coming to an end. They're what they're comfortable with. They're in their bubble.
The biggest challenge I have always seen in 35 years of working with people as a coach, a mentor, a holistic therapist, whatever, is that, or a spiritual mentor for people, is the biggest challenge I think fundamentally is people don't like to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then if I just go back to that idea when I said, when I want to clean my body up and I was really healing it, I had to get rid of the toxins in the cells. And the second half of my book is about detoxifying. And there are more gentle ways. I'm a bit more full on, let's do it now. But that's why I explain in my book, the second half of my book is about how to get rid of the toxins, the physiological toxins in the cells that are preventing us from being healthy and from being light filled. But when you go into a detox, for example, if you get a flu or a cold, most people rush to get their nose, their tablets, their throat tablets, their fever, to stop the fever, to stop the shakes, to stop it all. And yet, so what you're doing is you're immediately stopping the immune response. You're stopping the body kicking out, burning a fever and sweating and kicking out the toxins and the viruses and the bacteria. And the body is naturally going to do that. And it's uncomfortable. It's horrible to have to lie in bed sweating and sneezing and your eyes are red and you're shivering and you feel cold and your head pounds and you feel absolutely awful. Nobody wants to go through that. In fact, we don't have time to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
But by going through that naturally, the body burns off the toxins, sweats out the toxins, has poops and pees and tears and whatever and mucus and gets the rubbish out. So it's cleaner and can get on with the work it needs to do. And that's just a cold and flu. But imagine what it would feel like to get rid of the toxins of a more insidious disease or chemicals or fluorides or pesticides or herbicides or, God forbid, nanoparticles or stuff that's found in chemtrails or whatever, or vaccination toxicity. There's so much in our bodies that has to come out for our cells to function back at optimum speed or optimum efficiency. But in that detoxification process and the elimination process, it's all about pooping and peeing and sweating and snotting, and it's not a comfortable process. And in our modern world, everybody avoids comfort. They say in the ancient scriptures, it's not just a modern world, it's an ongoing thing, is that people move away from pain and towards pleasure. But therein lies a problem, because it's never comfortable getting rid of the unnecessary and the waste and the toxins and the horrible stuff. But we have to. So I would say to people, have courage and know that the journey is going to be uncomfortable in the beginning. We say in the yogic tradition or the Vedic tradition, the path of sattvic, which is on the way towards turiya, which is a state we're really talking about, everybody wants to get to. But the state of sattva, where everything is in harmony and balance and beautiful, that journey is difficult in the beginning and sweet at the end. But the path of rajas, which is all fire and me and mine and I want and I get and I like, is sweet in the beginning. Oh, just go have a nice affair with someone. Or, oh, I'll just go and eat that box of chocolates. Oh, I'll have another 3 glasses of wine. But the next day or the next month, you feel terrible.
Yeah.
So that's a rajasic. So me, myself, now, pleasure now is a rajasic path. And it's sweet now. Pleasurable now, but in the future, you have to pay the price. So what we want to do is go back to the sattvic path, where we acknowledge that things aren't always going to be the way we want them, and they may be uncomfortable right now. And whether that's physical, mental, emotional, behavioral, spiritual, whatever, lifestyle. But better to, if you accept that and have the courage and the knowledge that, for example, going on a detox is going to be difficult and uncomfortable. But when you've done that 3-day fast, or you've done that week long cleansing program, or coffee enemas or whatever. I mean, I'm a great fan of coffee enemas. Going back to that, yes, it's in my book. I say to people, have coffee up, not down.
Have you done a flaxseed oil enema before?
Do you know, I haven't actually. I haven't actually done a flaxseed one, but I've done. I did very different. Actually, maybe it was flaxseed. When I was in India having the Ayurvedic treatment, a lot of the enemas are oil based.
Yeah.
I can't tell you which oil they use. I'm sorry. Usually, it's a combination of different herbs, oil infused with different kinds of herbs, depending on your condition.
Yeah, Barbara Wren breaks it down very well about the enemas, and she says that the flaxseed oil enema is one of the best for, because the flaxseed oil itself carries a lot of light, it carries a lot of photons, and it's one of the best ways of getting like a shit ton of photons into your system. And yeah, I haven't done the flaxseed one, to be honest with you. I've got my own kit up at home here, and I've got like enema grade coffee, which I use, and I've messed around with other little things that I kind of just throw in just to see if it's going to have an effect. But yeah, I do want to do the flaxseed one. I think that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my in the book, I'll tell people, look, you want to eat oil. You want to get as much oil. Yes, that you can do the enemas. But the challenge, slight challenges only with enemas is that, you know, the body's, I like people to use the evacuation. If you're going to do an enema, I prefer to do a coffee one, because it stimulates the liver to produce glutathione. And by about 600 times more, Edgar Cayce explained. And what happens is that the glutathione is the body's greatest antioxidant. And we need that to fight the free radicals, which are the anti-aging and also disease-causing. So, for example, anyone who's got cancer would be doing coffee enemas. But even just on a general, I would say to most people, once a week, do a coffee enema. Because you're allowing the body to evacuate, it stimulates the liver to produce bile, and it gets the body to evacuate more, and you're getting more bile production, which gets rid of the toxins in the liver, but also producing this high level of glutathione. So that's fantastic. And then for the free electrons, as you say, the clouds of electrons carried by natural oils. Look, get your flax oil, pour it on your food. I've got a fridge here and it's full of avocado oil, nut oils. I've got coconut oils, of course, pure virgin, cold pressed, blah, blah, blah. You know, I've got about 7 bottles of oils in my fridge, and it's a fundamental part of my diet. Because the cell membrane of all the trillions and billions of cells in our body, cell membranes are about 80% fat. Don't get me started on that one, Chris. We'll be here for another 3 hours. But, you know, all the plastic, the rubbish that we, when you have trans fats, when you have cooked fats and crisps and chips and all these deep fried foods and fatty foods and rubbish foods and milk, fat in milk, hydrogenated pasteurized milk, disgusting. It's plastic. Get away from all that and get raw products, of course, if you want to have dairy, have raw. But most of all, you want to have all those oils. Just get it, you know, cook with it, eat it. Have you have bread? I mean, butter. Get really super fantastic organic butter, delicious and nice. And of course, your coconut oil. You can have that on your food if you want to have a cracker of some kind. Again, I have never eat bread and I hardly ever eat carbs. I just have vegetables and you know, a very healthy diet. So. I think for me, it's a combination of what goes in, but also what must come out is very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to bring up a point as well that you kind of briefly talked about the raw milk, it's so important to get the raw milk where it's unhomogenized, unpasteurized. And the raw milk is going to be such a rich source of phospholipids, and phospholipids is what we need for our cellular membranes. And the cellular membranes are so important within that electron cloud formation around the outside of the cell to draw the photons and electrons into the cell, and really start to resonate on that incoherence with these sort of universal frequencies. So important. And the dairy industry, factory farming, all of that has just kind of dug itself a massive hole in that everyone just shits on dairy now because of the wrongdoings of greed and, well, corporate interests. And it's a shame because it's hard. Whereabouts are you living again, Paulette?
Well, I'm spending a lot of time here in, I'm actually from home is Scotland. Yeah. But I'm actually currently spending a lot of time in the Netherlands right now. And I'm trying to, and I'm, because there's so many, this is where I got healed from my Lyme disease, and there's a lot of fantastic therapists around here, and I'm working with some very good friends and opening a clinic in the Arnhem area myself, although I work with the quantum stuff, you know, remotely. So and there's a lot of stuff here.
You've got good sorts of raw milk?
Yeah, we have. So there's a lot of good health food shops in our area, and you can get raw milk, you can get raw products. But to be honest, I don't have a lot of dairy in my diet these days, because not just because of the raw side of it, I'm trying to get the raw products. But it creates a lot of mucus. It creates a lot of like byproducts in the cellular tissue. So when I'm working with clients, I say, look, try and get off the dairy, or really cut it down, and it's not necessary to have it, though. So just give it up for a while, or really cut it right down. If you do, have some raw. And I tend to have, I'd have maybe some goat cheese now and then, like that, and sheep's cheese. That's very nice too.
Nice. So what's your sort of cupboard staples then at the moment? I know you were talking about all your oils that you have and everything like that. Is there what's your sort of non-negotiables in that you will? If you're going without them, you're going to be like, fuck, I need to find a source of this like ASAP.
Okay. Well, I've got a whole range of oils. Obviously that's that. And I've got a lot of lovely organic nuts. Macadamia nuts are really good. So I have my nuts, I have my oils, and I've got obviously a lot of raw vegetables. I'm not into raw foods per se, because from an Ayurvedic point of view, it doesn't suit my body type. It doesn't suit my digestion. So I know that I need and thrive, and especially in a colder climate, on cooked foods. I like my root vegetables in the winter, that kind of thing. So I've got my good supply of fresh vegetables. I don't have a lot of fruit because it has a lot of sugar in it, so I really keep sugar out of my diet. And I'm also a fan of superfoods. You know, when I was having to rebuild my body, well, for a number of reasons, obviously chlorella, barley grass, and spirulina in particular, because when you're trying to get rid of heavy metals, which are used by things like Lyme disease, Borrelia, the spirochetes, they use heavy metals to create biofilms. So when you're killing off a lot of these kind of spirochete bacteria in the body, they're releasing more heavy metals into the body, and you have to chelate and get them out. So I always make sure every day I get some spirulina and chlorella into my diet. Then I've got about 12 jars. I've got maca, I've got bee pollen, I've got a whole range of things. I usually supplement with some hemp protein. I like that. So once a day, I'll have a superfood mix. And I love that. And I'd have that with, say, coconut water or something like that. If I want to have a cappuccino, I'll have a really nice coffee, but I'll make it with the lovely oat milk, the barista oat milk.
Okay.
So, and then of course I use a lot of spices and herbs. I love, you know, I would never do that with turmeric. And, I make some great cookies, some great cakes with, for my partner, myself. He likes them for work, and I make them from almond flour and coconut flour. And I use, you know, so I use things like that. So there's lots of ways to make your diet really delicious and exciting, and lots of cinnamon and ginger because it's warming in the winter. And it's really interesting. You know, when you stop, you say, right, I'm not doing sugar. I'm giving up all these fast carbs. You know, a lot of my clients, I say, you know, try and get them off fast carbs and all the pasta, potatoes, rice, bread. It's just incessant. And what do I eat? I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I get myself hoarse talking about eating without having to stuff carbs. I'm not anti-carbs because all vegetables have carbs in them. But it's just getting people to understand you need oil more than you need carbohydrates. You know, we really need to get more oil in and the right kind of protein. So, yeah, I mean, that in itself is a very exciting topic and a big topic. But sure, oils is a staple part of our diet.
Sam, do you practice any sort of fasting protocols at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Is that more of a sort of a longer duration fast or intermittent fasting? What sort of thing do you do?
Do you know, it depends. It's coming up to sort of around February when Chinese New Year kicks in, and when you really feel springtime's, the really earth is starting to wake up. I'll do like a week long fast where a lot of water, more of a liquid fast, and really cutting right back. But once a week, I'll have a day when I don't have very much at all. Maybe miss breakfast and lunch and just have a light supper. And then, as I say, every 2-3 years, I'll go and do an intense, you know, program like Panchakarma at an Indian retreat. But then you want to go and do that with a great santa, with the doctors in India, in the sun, you know, in an organic place up in the mountains somewhere. So, you know, I go with what I feel I need at the time. But also, for example, sure, we all ate too much at Christmas. And look, I had some wine as well. I'm not, you know, super squeaky everything. Because I find that, Chris, I want to say that one thing. I used to be super strict about everything, you know, my diet, and I was vegetarian and I was vegan for 10 years and I was this, that, and the other. You know, while I was dying and critically ill and having to make some serious choices about staying on the planet or not, I really had to look at some fundamental thought patterns. And I realized that as all those strict, rigid patterns I had about diet, about my opinions about everything, they had to go too. I really had to, they were imprisoning me also. So I've dropped a lot of those rigid thought patterns. And now I say, what does my body need now? And if it needs a cleanse, I'll give it a cleanse. If it needs an enema, I'll give it an enema. Sometimes I might go a month and I don't have a coffee enema. Then suddenly I'll do two in one day because I know my body needs it that day. It's about tuning in to the intelligence of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe what spirit is telling me as well. And spirit says, you need to go and have some meat. Well, I will, but I'll make sure it's free range, fed on, and it's been out, the cows have been out in the fields, they've been given no antibiotics and that kind of thing. So I look at what I'm eating and why without being rigid, because that's also a pattern. It's also rigidity is also a frequency. And nothing in nature is rigid. And nothing in nature stays the same. If it stays the same, it dies.
And that's the spiritual life for you. You're living in accordance to natural law. And that's what true spirituality is. And it's one of the points that I love to make over and over again is that that is, in essence, how you connect with these innate intelligence, with nature's intelligence, with a higher intelligence, is through abiding its laws and that's where you find the connection. And I just want to sort of tie things up now, Paulette, because we've been going on for like a good almost close to 2 hours. So it's I could easily sit here and talk to you for hours on end. So maybe we should make this like a part one of a series of talks in going into the future.
Love to. And I hope we haven't talked too long that your listeners are switched off by now.
Oh, no, don't worry. I'm sure they're going to be glued to their headphones on this one. It's great. I really did enjoy this one, Paulette, and I mean that. And I'm really happy that the stars aligned as they did for you to walk past my stand at the Go Organic Festival and for us to be able to connect, because I really do... I really do give merit to everything that you've done in life and the information that you give out there. And it really is from the heart. And I can tell that, as I hope that you can tell that what I'm saying and the message I give is from the heart. And we need people like ourselves without any ties to alternative interests for personal gain. Whereas we're doing this to really help other people and to prepare people for the big shift, the great awakening, whatever name you want to give to it. There's something greater at play than us just giving out information. There really is. And we're living in exciting times, interesting times, difficult times. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that most people are unaware of. Without going down another rabbit hole, there is a form of a spiritual war going on behind the scenes between benevolent and malevolent forces at play. And for a long time, we've been kept in the shadows. We've been kept in a submissive, controlled state. But things are on the rise. And this year is going to be very interesting, which is going to lead and tie into 2020, where we regain our 2020 vision. A little bit of play on words there. And where we're going to be able to see between the lines and regain our spiritual vision that we lost a long time ago. But it's all been prophesied. It's all written in the stars, and you can run from it. You can hide from it, but destiny will arrive. And those that are ready, they're going to be the ones that are going to welcome it with open arms. And those that aren't ready, they're going to have a little bit of a difficult time with the readjustments that's going to be needed in order to really blossom in this coming age. But yeah, yes. Thanks again for coming on, Paulette. And it really
Well, Chris, what I'd love to do, because I just feel I really enjoy you. I enjoy the fact that we just seem to be on the same wavelength. And what I'd love to do is a special offer for your readers. It's not on my website, but I'd love to, if anybody wants to get Fab Health Book, understanding why we become ill so we can get better, then what I'd love to do for them is, because they're obviously conscious people, I'd like to do a very special offer for them for my Core Energetics Quantum Healing, a diagnosis and a healing for people. And normally it's just for me to do the healing and the diagnosis, and for a week would be €69 plus £69 plus the book, with £79.80. I'd like to say I would offer the book and the quantum healing, a diagnosis and healing for 50 pounds or €50.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, that would be great. So, and thank you for that.
I'm a great believer that if people are on the conscious path, I really want to step up and help them clear whatever karma might be in the way, or clear whatever blockages might be in the way. And the quantum work I'm doing with the quantum field is my most powerful way I've discovered in 20 years.
Yeah, for sure. And that's great that you can that you're being so generous with that. So guys, take Paulette up on this offer. Trust, this book is next level. And if you like everything that I've said in the previous episodes, or if you're brand new to this and you like what myself and Paulette said, grab this book. This book is really good, and it's not gonna like bombard you with a shit ton of science you don't understand. It's very well written, very well presented in the points made. And yeah, you could benefit so much from this. And you never know, this might just be something that you pick up and it may plant a few seeds in you. And then you never know, everything is Everything works in synchronicity. You just have to be able to be open to seeing it in the first place. So, yeah.
If people get the book from me, just email me fabhealth@pauletteagnew.com.
Okay. Yep. Paulette, why don't you just, if you could give everyone your sort of contact details, be that your website, be that your social media handles, if you have, just tell me where they can get hold of you. And then, yeah, I'll post all the shit into the comment section, into the show notes, and just so everyone is aware still. And yeah, we can just go from there. But if you just want to give them like a place where they can go now, if they're listening right now.
Okay, so I have one website, Paulette Agnew. It needs to be updated, so ignore the price of the book, but it's fantastic. It gives you some idea of what I'm doing. My other website, specifically on the core programs in the book, is called fabhealthbook.com. And that's the main one we find most information about the quantum stuff and the book itself and bioresonance. That's fabhealthbook.com. And if anyone wants to write to me, then and they want to take up the offer of the book and the core treatment and diagnosis, it would best to write to me at fabhealth@pauletteagnew.com and reference your program, please. And I will definitely respond and we'll sort it out, because obviously I'll send the book out myself and I'll sort out the core. If you go buy the book from Amazon, then I've lost track of who, what, where. It doesn't, you know, I can't follow that, but I can get the book to you myself and I can get a core program, and because I need certain details from you to program into the computer, and then we go from there.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you very much, Paulette. And guys, hopefully you really enjoyed this one as much as I did. A lot of information to digest and have a little think about, have a little meditate over, and see if you can begin to tie that into your own truth. And yeah, we just got to keep shining the light, Paulette. So thank you again. And let's bring this one to an end. So it's episode 20 of the Red Pill Initiation Hour. Guys, as always, stay woke as fuck. And the war, it's coming to an end, and we're gonna see some light at the end of it.
So we are seeing light, and light will always win, Chris. That is the one thing you can be sure of. As you say, the dark times are coming to an end, and the light will always win.
The light will always win. Good words, Paulette. Right, let's call it an end. See you later, guys. Bye.